Macmillan Audio presents The Second Home by Christina Clancy. Read for you by Tavia Gilbert. For my family, my home. I walked past a house where I lived once. A man and a woman are still together, in the whispers there. Yehuda Amichai. The house of childhood sold, or raised, not lost but softened, distended, diaphanous linked chambers springing from a light shaft or a varnish smell, the way a floorboard aches, a scrap of wallpaper tunnels the heart. By Don Bogan. Prologue. Anne had never been to Wellfleet in February. Each fall, her parents emptied the water heater, shut down the well pump, flushed antifreeze down the toilets, threw some sheets over the furniture, pulled down all the shades, and closed the house. Cape Cod felt like a hazy dream the rest of the year, a place suspended forever in beach days filled with sunshine and warmth. But there she was, alone and cold in a house that felt both familiar and now strange, because it was the off-season, and because her parents were gone, although she could feel them there. It was as if they were sitting behind mirrored glass during a focus group, like the ones Anne participated in at work, watching and listening to everything Anne did and said. Even now, half a year after they'd died, she kept waiting for some magical door to swing open, and for her parents to walk out from the other side of the glass to tell her they'd been watching her this whole time. She felt her parents' radiant energy in everything she saw as she paced the house to stay warm, in the chipped wine glass left in the sink, the sloppily folded beach towels and stained pillowcases, her mother's cookbooks, her father's telescope, even in the bulb digger where they'd always hidden the heavy iron key that unlocked the back door. Their possession seemed ready to be put to use again and again, and made the house feel like it was less a place they'd left behind than a place they'd planned to return to. Anne shivered and took a sip of her now cold Starbucks coffee. She checked her phone to see if Carol, the realtor, had tried to contact her to say she'd be late, but she had weak cell reception out here on the Outer Cape. Maybe she'd gotten lost. You couldn't see the house from Route 6, and the mouth of the long driveway, tucked in a thicket of brush and oak trees, was easy to miss. Anne didn't want Carol to think she was someone who could be talked into a low asking price, so she'd dressed for their meeting in her most serious work suit, a chocolate-colored alligator jacquard jacket, and matching pencil skirt. Not wanting to diminish the impact of her outfit, she left her wool coat in her car, but the house wasn't heated and she was freezing. It was better this way, she thought. She'd need the sharpness of the cold to get through this. A strong breeze blew so hard that the house seemed to moan and the door flew open. Anne jumped, as though the ghosts of her parents had breezed in and scolded her for what she was doing. She rushed over to the door and shut it firmly. She needed to list the house before she lost her resolve, and before summer arrived, along with all the tourists and their naive dreams of owning a place on the Cape. She already hated the buyers, whoever they were, who would love the house differently than her family did, free of their complicated history and conflicting personalities, unburdened by all the stuff they'd accumulated across three generations. It felt oddly intimate and wrong to imagine strangers living there, like she was letting them wear her own skin. She tried to focus on logistics. She and her younger sister, Poppy, would split the proceeds. If they got a good price, Anne could use her share to put some money in Noah's college fund and move into a bigger apartment in Boston than the cramped two-bedroom they shared in the South End. She was tired of living paycheck to paycheck. It would be nice to put some cartilage between the bones.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?